Zog the Gemara Daf Mem Gimel Omud Aleph. We've just been discussing the Inyan of the Mugmar. The Inyan of the Mugmar, which was this incense that was served after the meal. And we discussed with regard to who makes the bracha, but we never actually discussed what the bracha is. And that's going to be now our discussion for the whole Omud, basically. All the halachas of, or part of the Omud al-Kaponim, the brachas on Reach. Says the Gemara, Oma Reb Zeira, Oma Rova Bar Yirmiya. We have to make a hakdoma l'chayra, and that is, that l'chayra, this is the first time we've seen in this perek that we're making a bracha on anything but food. I'm not talking about Birkas HaMitzvahs, we all know that. But let's just stop for a moment. We know, and I think we've discussed this in the past, there are various types of brachas. All brachas fall into a number of different categories, one of a different number of categories. So we have Birkas HaMitzvahs. So we all said this morning, Laniach Tfilin, Al Mitzvahs Tfilin, Lis'atef Patzitzis, Lasek V'divrei Seira. There's a Birkas HaMitzvahs, a brachas on Tfilin, brachas on Talis, brachas on Tzitzis, brachas on Teira. We're obviously familiar with Al Natilas Lulav, Shofar. Tomorrow morning, Miss Hashem will make a bracha, Likroy Es HaHalel. That's a Birkas HaMitzvahs. We're about to perform a mitzvah, whether Doiraisa or Drabonon, right? Halel is a Drabonon. Lighting Hanukkah candles is a mitzvah Drabonon, Megillah. We have brachas that precede the performance of the mitzvah, and that is Birkas HaMitzvahs. Birkas HaMitzvahs. Then we have a different type of bracha. Birkas Hanenin. You're making a bracha, not nothing to do with the mitzvah, because you're benefiting. And the classic example is, of course, the brachas we make over food. Brachas you make over food. Then you have Birkas Hashvach, where you are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you see the yam, and you say, Oysa Ma'ase Bereishis, you're not necessarily, as it were, benefiting from the sea, nor are you performing a mitzvah. If you make a bracha on thunder or lightning, if you make a bracha upon seeing a Talmud Chacham, if you make a bracha upon seeing an animal, some animals require a bracha. Those brachas are not Birkas HaNenin, you're not benefiting from them in any way, neither are you performing a mitzvah. That's called Birkas HaShvach. That's called Birkas HaShvach. Now, those are the three main types of brachas. Birkas HaShvach, of course, included in Birkas HaShvach might also be brachas of Hoidah, right? If you have to bench Goymel. If you bench Goymel, that's not a Birkas HaMitzvahs, and it's not a Birkas HaNenin either. It's a Birkas HaShvach. You're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a type of praise. Why? Because you were zeicha to anes. So most brachas, it's pretty fair to say, probably fall into one of those three categories. Birkas HaMitzvahs, Birkas HaNenin, Birkas HaShvach. Now, with regard to Birkas HaMitzvahs, we have learned this. It actually was a sugya in Sukkah and elsewhere. We have a principle called Over La'asiyosa. Over La'asiyosa means that the bracha always has to be performed prior to the performance of the mitzvah. Over means before, La'asiyosa to its performance. So, if you're about to put on tefillin, you make your bracha, and then you put the tefillin on. If you're about to shake lulav, you say, Anotilas lulav, and then you shake the lulav. There is a whole discussion. Once you have already performed the mitzvah, can you then still make the bracha? B'di'eved? That means everybody agrees that the bracha has to be made, l'chatchila at least, before the performance of the mitzvah. That's what the Gemara says, over le'asiyosam. The question is, b'di'eved, do you have a second chance? That is a whole discussion. There may be room to distinguish, for example, between an ongoing mitzvah and a one-time mitzvah. For example, if you shake your lulav and you didn't make a bracha before, I think we could all understand that to make a bracha afterwards is a very big chiddush, because the mitzvah is all over. Whereas if you put up a mezuzah, for example, or you wear a talis, maybe there we could appreciate that you should make a bracha afterwards as well. Why? because the performance of the mitzvah is ongoing. You're still wearing the talis. You've still got a mezuzah on. Or in Hanukkah candles, you didn't make the bracha before lighting the candles, but the candles are still lit. So maybe there, that'll be a different discussion. Either way, that's not our subject for the moment. What we do need to know is that certainly lechatchila, everybody agrees, Mefurish and Gemara, that you have to make the bracha over la'asiyoson prior to the performance of the mitzvah. Now, back to our subject. We're now about to learn a sugya of Birkas Hareach. So, the whole perek, everything we've been discussing in this perek, I think without exception, has been Birkas HaNenin on foods or drinks. Peiros and Yayin and Pas and Parperes, etc., etc., etc. So really we need to stop and think and wonder to ourselves 1 second. If we have to make a bracha on foods, why do we make a bracha on foods? Remember what the Gemara said? Because it's gezel. Or because it's like me'ila. It's like hektish. It belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If either that renders it kodosh, in which case you shouldn't benefit from it, or it's like gezela, it doesn't belong to you. So why would there be any difference between a food, or for that matter, any other benefit from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world? In fact, this might sound strange, but maybe if you hear a wonderful concert from top chazan in the world, maybe you should make a bracha on that. You're benefiting. What's the difference whether I'm benefiting from a food, or a pleasant smell, or a pleasant sound? What about a pleasant sight? If I see a nice sunset, a wonderful scene, so maybe I should make a bracha on that, Birkas HaNenin. Now, there is, l'choira, a distinction. What would you say is a distinction between watching a sunset, hearing a nice voice, and eating? One is physical benefit. You're eating. Whereas to see something, or to maybe smell it, or to hear it, is not physical benefit. It's not tangible benefit. It's a pleasant thing, but it's not a tangible benefit. We normally associate that, by the way, with a more ruchni benefit, which is, by the way, why we make a bracha on besomim on Motzei Shabbos. Why do we make a bracha on Motzei Shabbos? Because we've lost our neshama yisera, so we need a nechama. Why? Because we're upset we've lost the kedushas, so we need some comfort. For if you need some comfort, so why don't we just have an apple? Why do we drink a glass of wine? The answer is because if we've lost something ruchni, then we need to be comforted by something which is ruchni also, which is the reach, Birkas HaReach. Now, a classic proof of this point, l'choira, is from the halacha of me'ila itself. What is me'ila? Misappropriating hektish. If I go into the Beis HaMikdash and I see an animal there and I take it, let's say I didn't realize it belonged to hektish, I shecht it and I eat it, and that is me'ila. That's misappropriation of hektish. What happens if I have a look at something that belongs to hektish? So I used it for my own benefit. I enjoyed the sight of the Beis HaMikdash. Can't use the Beis HaMikdash. But I looked in it and I saw a tremendous scene and I enjoyed it. All with halacha there. So the Gemara says, koil, mare, and reach. Sound, sight, and smell, ein boy mishum me'ila. There's no issa me'ila, at least min ha-teira. There's no issa me'ila. Now what singles out koil, mare, v'reach? L'chayre, what we just said before. Because those are not tangible benefits. If I shecht an animal belonging to Ekdash and I eat it, that's a tangible benefit because I've just eaten it. My stomach is filled. But koil, mare, v'reach is a non-tangible benefit. Therefore, that's not subject to the Issa of Me'ila. So we certainly see that we have a precedent that distinguishes between the two types of Hano. So here is where we get stuck. If that's the case, the halacha is that you do not make a bracha on koil, neither on mare. When I see a nice sunset, I do not make a bracha. There is an occasion, it's called Birkas Hare'iya, but there also, what you're really doing is you're praising Hashem. If you see the sea, or a rainbow, that's a shvach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not a Birkas Hanene. Yeah, so why you don't make a Birkas HaShvach when you see a nice sunset, say that's a different discussion. But there's no Birkas HaNehenin on seeing something. So when I see the sea, or I see a certain animal, or Havdil Elef Havdolos, I see a huge Talmud Chacham, I make a bracha. But that's not on the benefit that I accrued upon seeing it, or seeing him. Rather, that's praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there is no Birkas HaNehenin. So what would we say? The reason is because it's not tangible benefit. In the same way as there's no me'ila, because it's not tangible, so therefore it's not really considered to be actual, real benefit, therefore there's no birkas hanenin. And by the way, the connection to me'ila is a very, very fair connection. Why is it a fair connection? Because the Gemara tells us that that's why we make brachas in the first place. The Gemara, right in the beginning of the perek, said, you got to learn brachas kedei shelo yovil dei me'ila. V'kol anenem in ha'olam hazeh b'loi bracha mo'al. So therefore, it's not just a moshel. We l'chayra have every right. We l'chayra have every right to learn the halachas of brachas from me'ila, because the Gemara themselves says it's the same thing. So therefore, so far everything makes sense except for one case, and that is Birkas Areyach. Birkas Areyach somehow gets caught in between two. On the one hand, when it comes to Me'ila, there's no Issa Me'ila. And it's grouped together with Koil and Mare, with sight and sound. It's non-tangible, and yet when it comes to Bracha, it's all of a sudden, we see that there is a Bracha. So we're going to have to say that Reach is slightly different. Can anybody think why? Why would you perhaps categorize a Reach as slightly different, albeit not completely different, but slightly different to Koil and Mare? Reach. It's inhaled. So it might not be like a food where you actually feel satiated in a physical way, but it is inhaled into your goof. It's not like just you saw something or you heard it. Your ears are no better off, neither are your eyes. But when you smell something, there is a certain feeling that you actually feel better. Again, it's not tangible like a piece of food. That's true. It's not like drinking a cup of wine, it fills you up, or having a piece of bread, it fills you up. But there is a certain Hano'a which is inhaled, and the Chazal were masakin a bracha on that. That is the Chiddush of Birkas Hareach. So now, let's have a look at the Gemara. Omar Rav Zeira, Omar Rava Bar Yirmiya. Me'emosai mevorachin al Hareach. Now the introduction that we made, hopefully, will help us understand at least a little bit what's going on in the Gemara over here. The Gemara says, Me'emosai mevorachin al ha-reach. When do you make a bracha on reach? Meaning, we know that you definitely do make a bracha on reach, because that's what it says here in the Mishnah. It says you make a bracha on the mugmar, so you definitely make a bracha. We haven't been told what the bracha is, and we haven't been told when exactly do you make this bracha. Says the Gemara, Me'imus ha'mevorchen al ha'reach, Mishetale timrosoi. From when the smoke starts rising. Says Rashi, al ha'reach shel mugmar. Of the mugmar that we are dealing with in our Mishnah. Timrosoi, kitur ha'oshon. What's oshon? Smoke. Kitur Ha'asham, the smoke, Shemetamer Va'ila, which smokes and rises. So when the smoke begins to rise, that is the point at which you make a bracha. Asks the Gemara, I don't understand. Why would you make a bracha there? Omale Reb Zeira, le Rava Bar Yirmiya. Reb Zeira initially asked Rava Bar Yirmiya. He didn't ask him, he said to him, when do you make a bracha? Mishatala Timrosi. To which he said, one second, Vaho loy ka'orach. But he hasn't yet smelled the incense. Says Rashi, ha loy orach, loy heiriach boy adayin, comma. He hasn't yet smelled it, and therefore, v'loy nehene, he hasn't benefited. And if he hasn't benefited from it yet, why are you making a bracha? Omale. So he turned round to him and he said in response, one second, Ulata meich. What does that mean, Ulata meich?
According to your reasoning.
According to your reasoning, what are you claiming? That you can't possibly make a bracha yet because you haven't actually benefited. Meaning, you agree there's a bracha, whatever that bracha may be, but what you're querying is the exact timing of the bracha. I told you that the bracha should be made as soon as it begins smoking. You said, no, it should only be after you've benefited. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Hamoitzi lecha min ha'aretz demavarech. The bracha of hamoitzi lecha min ha'aretz, which one makes a bracha, ay v'holoi ochal. You haven't yet eaten, so why don't you ask the same question? You pick up a piece of bread and you make a bracha, but you haven't yet eaten it. And if you claim that as long as you haven't smelt the besomim, you can't make a bracha. So l'chayra, if you haven't eaten the bread, you also don't make a bracha, and yet you admit that you definitely do make a bracha. So what's the reason? It must be, elo because daite l'meichel. So it must be because his das is to eat it. So for the same price and the same reasoning, hochanami daitoi la'aruchi. So too, here too, his das is to take a smell. So you're 100% right that at this point that he's making a bracha, he hasn't actually yet benefited from the reyach. But you yourself admit that you do make a bracha on food before you benefit it. Why? Because you're planning to benefit, so therefore that same plan would work for Birkas HaReich as well.
Why isn't the Gemara answer over Lasiosin?
Over Lasiosin is only with Birkas HaMitzvahs. Over Lasiosin is only with Birkas HaMitzvahs.
But he uses the example of Moitzi.
That's not over Lasiosin.
That's Nenin.
Yeah, Birkas HaNenin. Over Lasiosin is Birkas HaMitzvahs. Asiosin, the performance of a mitzvah.
We always make a bracha before we do.
I'm saying it's two separate rules. Okay. There's one separate rule that mitzvahs have to be made a bracha over before the performance of the bracha. And then there's another rule, Birkas HaNenim, which you're right, it's the same halacha, but it's a different principle. There too, you also make a bracha prior to the benefiting, but not because of the rule of Oivel HaSiyoson. Oivel HaSiyoson is a rule specific to the performance of mitzvahs. Now, the question is, and maybe the introduction that we made will help us out a little bit. There was a Shakla V'Tariyah over here. There was a Havamina and there was a Maskona. Let's work through the stages. He said, when do you make a bracha on the reyach? When it begins smoking. So what was he bothered by? How can that be? But you haven't yet had benefit. So he said, all right, well, neither of you had benefit on bread. And what was his answer? Oh, yes.
Planning.
So what's the obvious question? He said, if you're planning to eat bread and you can make a bracha, so you're planning to have reyach, you can make a bracha. So what's the obvious kasha on this Gemara? What was he thinking? What was his question? But you haven't yet benefited from the reyach. Yeah, okay, so what, you've forgotten the rules? Don't you know that we always make a bracha before the benefits? Well, what was his question at all? And you see, that was the Mora's answer, by the way. What was the Mora's answer? So you see that when you have a bracha on bread, you haven't yet eaten, and yet you still make a bracha. Why? Because you are planning to eat. So what's the Havamina? If the Gemara asks a Kasha, there must be a valid Havamina. The Gemara doesn't make mistakes. We can make mistakes. Amoraim don't make mistakes. So what was his Havamina? Why was he so bothered by the fact that you haven't yet benefited from this Reach? And therefore he's querying whether Bechalal you can make a Bracha. Don't you know the basic rule? Every kid in Cheder knows you make a bracha before you eat. So obviously you make a bracha before you smell. What was this kasha at all?
You're not eating it.
Oh! So we're going to have to come back to our introduction. And we're going to have to say that he did not make a mistake. He knew full well that when it comes to food, when do you make a bracha?
Before,
he knew that. Yet he still maintained that maybe when it comes to Reach, the rules are different. Why would the rule be different? Because like we said, it's not really tangible benefit. Just for want of better words, when you're actually holding the bread in your hand, the benefit that you're about to have is tangible to you now already. You're holding it. Whereas the bracha on the Reach, you can't see it or hold it or touch it. You're about to smell it, but it's not here yet. So therefore, that's why our Hakdoma was so important. Maybe that, therefore, is the Shakra Vatariya in the Gemara. That he thought that maybe you don't make a bracha yet. Why? Because you haven't benefited. But he means even more than that, because the bracha is not really, the smell is not tangible. To which the Amoira answered back, no. As far as I'm concerned, it is exactly the same as bread. The mere das is enough. In other words, if you note carefully, why in the final analysis do you make a bracha on your bread before eating the bread? Not because the bread is tangible.
Because you know you're going to eat it.
Because you know you're going to eat it. Oh, it's the knowledge. Ah, if it's the knowledge, then you're quite right. Then there's no distinction anymore between Reach and Oichel. The Makshan thought that maybe there is a distinction. Why is there a distinction? Because one is tangible, one is not. So when you're holding your apple in your hand, the benefit which you're about to accrue from that apple is tangible now, even prior to your benefiting from it. So maybe there it does make sense to make a bracha prior to the eating. Mashenkin in the Reach, we're having a hard enough time to understand why you make a bracha at all. Like we said, in Me'ila, Koil Mara V'Reach, there is no Me'ila. And so too with brachas, Koil and Mara, there's no bracha. So Reach, we're having a difficult enough time explaining why there should bechlal be a bracha. So we said, no, it's not quite the same as Koil v'mare, because there's something which is inhaled to your goof, but it's not tangible. So maybe that's why the Makshan held that as long as you haven't actually benefited it from it, it's non-tangible and there should be no bracha. So the Gemara answers that no, you're wrong. The reason why you make a bracha on bread prior to the eating is because Daitoi lemechel, the mere knowledge, the mere plan that you're about to benefit is enough to warrant a bracha, in which case there is really no distinction to be made between oichel and reach, and that's therefore the halacha. Now, we do, however, have to add one word, and that is, one second, what does that mean, the plan to eat it? What plan? I'm planning on eating bread in Mitzvah Hashem today for lunchtime. That's my plan, Mitzvah Hashem. Hashem should help. So I should make a bracha now. So it can't just be the plan. There obviously must be another criteria, which is that what?
Miad.
It's got to be in proximity to the benefit. I'll ask you another question. What happens if you don't even have the bread at the moment? It's not here. You also shouldn't make a bracha. You make a bracha only when the bread is here in front of you. That's why, even though you don't have to wait to benefit from the mugma to make a bracha, you can make a bracha prior to smelling it. But it does have to be when Mishetale imrosoi. It's timrosoi. It's only when the smoke begins to rise. Because before the smoke begins to rise, what is it? It's just potential benefit. It's like taking dough and say, yeah, make a bracha mitzilechem and aretz on that. It's not yet bread. Yeah, but it'll be done in 2 minutes. Say about the moment, it's just potential. So you've got to catch the fine line. On the one hand, the item from which you're benefiting from has to indeed be here. But on the other hand, you haven't yet benefited from it. So the Gemara says it's only mishetale timrosoi. It's only when the smoke begins to rise, although I haven't yet inhaled it, but that's considered now to be here. But if you just light the mugma, the smell is not yet here. Whatever this mugma is, avkas roichlin, Rashi told us it's some sort of powder, but presumably the smell from which only rises when you put fire underneath, which is at the moment there's no smell. So therefore you've got to wait till the smoke rises. That means the benefit is here, ba'olam. Now you can make a bracha. Zot the Gemara. Omar Rav Chia Brei Da Abba Bar Nachmeini. Omar Rav Chista, Omar Rav. So Rav Chia, the son of Abar, the son of Nachmeini, said in the name of Rav Chista, who said in the name of Rav, Va'omri Lo, and there are some who say that it was actually somebody else completely. It was Omar Rav Chista, Omar Ziri. It wasn't in the name of Rav, it was the name of Ziri. Kol hamugmorois mevorchin aleyen boirei atzei besomim chutz mi mushak shemen chayohu shemevorchin olov boirei minei besomim. Shemin chayohu, quite right. What's the Gemara saying? Until now, as we've just discussed, we've only spoken about the timing of the bracha, but we haven't actually discussed what the bracha is. So we're being told the general rule, the bracha on all types of mugmorais, meaning these powder incense which you burn and the fragrance rises, the bracha is always boirei atzei besomim, besides for mushak, which I think I saw translated as musk. What's musk? Mushak.
It's from an animal.
Oh. Rashi says, chutz mi mushak, muska balaz. So in French, it's muska, Nachum.
Musk.
Yeah, that makes sense now? Yeah. So all mugmarais, what's the bracha? Atzei besomim. With one exception, musk. Why? Shemin chayo hu, says Rashi. Shehu min chayo min horei shel chayo. It is actually coming from the excrement of a live animal. And therefore, it makes no sense, therefore, to make a bracha of atzei besomim, because not from an eitz at all. All other mugmorin apparently come from some sort of plant or wood or tree. Therefore, the bracha is atzei besomim. But in the case of this musk, it's a minchaya, it just comes from a live animal. In which case, what's the bracha? The bracha is boirei minei besomim. It is a species of spice. But you can't say it is a wood spice or plant spice. Now, we missed out a Rashi, a very important Rashi. Mevorachin aleihem boirei atzei besomim. The bracha that one makes over mugmorei says atzei besomim. Says Rashi va'afal pi shenisraf. What does that mean? Even though what?
It's not burned.
It is burned.
Af
pi shenisraf. Even though it's burned.
It is burned. Okay.
And if it's burned ve'einoi be'en. What does it mean, ve'ein be'en?
Not visible.
It's not here, the eitz is gone. Elo, shehatimur, like we said before, timur, that word timro, the smoke, oile. In other words, Rashi's pointing out, and if you look, by the way, immediately in Tosfos, Tosfos says exactly the same in the small Tosfos. Kol ha-mugmor is b'morach n'alayim bori atzi b'somim afal pisha nisrafu. Even though the wood part of it has been burned, v'ein atzi b'somim be'en. There is no atzi b'somim, which is be'en. Be'en means around, physically. So Rashi and Tosfos are both pointing out that that is the chiddush of our Gemara. That you will make a bracha on these mugmoris atzei besomim, even though by the time you benefit from it, the atzei part is no longer here. To the contrary, the only reason why you're benefiting from it is in fact because the atzei is not here. The atzei have gone, that's now produced a smoke, and the smoke apparently has a pleasant fragrance. And that's what we're being taught, that nonetheless, it still requires a bracha of atzei besomim. Why? Because at the end of the day,
its source
is atzei besomim. That's the chiddush. As opposed to this musk, in the case of mushk, you can't make a bracha of atzei besomim. Why? Because there it doesn't even emanate from an eitz. It emanates from a chaya. So if we make a general bracha, boirei mini besomim, which is always the generic bracha for besomim.
It's not a mini either, though.
It's a type of besomim. It's got a pleasant taste, apparently. It does have a pleasant taste. Besomim doesn't have to be a plantation. Besomim's definitely got a pleasant taste. That's why people are smelling it. It can't make a kind of a broch of atzei besomim because at the end of the day it doesn't come from an eitz. Okay. So far what is the principle? As an exception, but the general principle is that all mugmorais, the bracha is boirei atzei besomim. Says the Gemara Meisvei. Ein mevorchin. We have a braisa that says, you do not make a bracha of boirei atzei besomim, quote unquote, elo al afar samoin shel beis rabbi. What's afar samoin?
Kind of wood, it's a balsam wood.
Balsam wood is the correct translation. Elo ala farasamoin shall base Rebbe, only on this balsam wood in the house of Rebbe, va ala farasamon shall base Kesar, or on the farasamon they had in the Caesar's house, va al hahadas shabachol mokim, also over hadasim, irrelevant of where they come. So when it comes to Afar Samoin, it seems to be that in the base Rebbe, we know Rebbe was very wealthy, and the Kesar, they had apparently a very, very specific type of Afar Samoin. Other people's Afar Samoin was apparently a different smell, and therefore a different bracha. But this high quality Afar Samoin that you would find in the base Rebbe, or in the base Kesar, there the bracha is very atzei besomim. So too on hadas, which is a myrtle that we have for Arba Minim, there you make boirei atzei besomim wherever you find the hadas. Says Rashi Meisvei, ein mevorchin boirei atzei besomim elo ala farasamoin. Why? Says Rashi the important point, sheho eitz atzmoi bo lefoneinu. What does that mean? Sheho eitz atzmoi bo lefoneinu. In those cases, the actual wood is here. On all other mukmorais, what do you have in front of you? You just have the powder. You don't have actual wood. So if you don't have wood, this braisa maintains, and this is the kasha, because the previous gemara says you do make atzei besomim. Why? Because it emanates once upon a time from atzei besomim. From eitz. But this braisa says, no, you only make a broch of atzei besomim if what? If the wood is there in front of you. Which is the case.
The wood itself, even in its raw form, in its raw is form. Strong enough to give off an odor without being...
So burned. Let's have a look. Shor eitz atzmoi balafoneinu shel beis Rebbe v'shel beis Kesar. What is so unique about the house of Rebbe and the Caesar's home? Nokat hani. What does nokat mean? These are mentioned mishum she'enoi motzui, because they are not really to be found. Elo bebeis melachim ubalei gedula. You will only find this wood, apparently it's very costly or very prestigious, you will only find this wood in the house of kings, or Bali Gedula, and great people. So that's why we mentioned Rebbe and the base Kesar. Va'al ha'adas shebechol mokim. Now, we'll see, Rashi adds, V'hu adin l'chol hadoime lohem. So too, everything which is similar. In other words, Rashi is bothered. Why do you only mention hadas? Rashi says, it's just an example. But so too, anything that is similar to them, what's unique? This is what you said before, Rav Moshe Zelig. Shaho eitz atzmoi meiriach beloi sreifa. What's unique about these is that the wood itself has a pleasant smell even without burning it. Mugmar, as far as this price is concerned, it only when you put the mugmar alo eish and the smoke begins rising, then it conjures up a fragrance. Masha'en kain, when it comes to the afarasamoin or the hadas or some other similar types, there the actual eitz has a pleasant smell. Says Rashi, so really it doesn't only apply to hadas, it applies to any species which is similar to it. Elo da hadas shchiach. What does that mean? It's shchiach? It's common. So that's why we gave this as an example. V'dibru ha-chachomim behoive. Bechol mokim. So chachomim spoke behoive. What does it mean behoive? In the present, in other words, in the present, in the common case, in the normal, regular case. The most common scenario is hadas, but so too, if you manage to dig up some other example where the eitz also has a pleasant smell, then that will certainly have the same rule. There's nothing unique specifically about hadas. Okay. Says Rashi in conclusion. Umugmar. But when it comes to mugmar, where the eitz does not have the smell, loy mevarchinon, elo boire minei besamim. And that's the kasha. So you said in the beginning that kol hamugmoris, you make a broch of atzei besomim, and the only exception is the musk. Why? Because it comes from minchayo, but every mugmar is atzei besomim, and we explained why. Because at the end of the day, it emanates originally from an eitz. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. In his brisa seems to suggest that the mere fact that it stems from eitz is not enough to require a bracha of atzei besomim. It has to be that the eitz itself gives a bracha. So then you could say, I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the atzei besomim. But if it's just the smoke, you don't make that bracha. If it's just when it's put on fire and the smoke then creates this fragrance, and you don't make a bracha of atzei besomim, rather, minei besomim. So it seems to be an absolute steerer to the rule that we just mentioned before. And indeed, says the Gemara, tiyufta. What does tiyufta mean? Obgefregt. That's it, disproven. So it seems to be, according to our Gemara, we'll see in Tosis in a moment, it seems to be that our Gemara maintains la halacha, at the end of the day, what bracha do you make on mugma then, according to the maskana of the Gemara? Minei besamim. The only exception is when you have this afarasamoin in certain cases, or hadas, and the like. But your regular mugma, the bracha is minei besomim, as opposed to the first opinion that says, no, it's atzei besomim. Why? Because it comes from eitz. Now, if the Gemara says tiyufta, that means that what? It's a non-answerable question. Well, if it's a non-answerable question, presumably then the questioner, then the one who issued that initial statement is disproven. So halacha l'maisa would have to be, as we just said, that you make a bracha bari minei besomim. If you look in Tosfos, Tosfos says there was an alternative girsa. Zok Tosfos, v'al ha'hadas shebechol mokoim, bal halochos gedolos. We've bumped into the bal halochos gedolos many times, that's the Bahag. Loi goris, he did not have the girsa of tiyuvta, quote unquote. He didn't have that girsa. We have that girsa. But if you drop the word tiyuvta, then it means that there is an answer. Our Gemara says there is no answer. Tiyuvta, finished. It's a pircha, disproven. So if it's disproven, so we have to go back and say that the first statement is wrong. And there is no bracha of atzei besomim, rather the bracha is minei besomim. But the Bahag, says Tosis, had a different girsa. He did not have the text of Tiyuvta. This was not an unanswerable question. There was an answer. Do you know what the answer was? Umashani. Here comes the answer in the opinion and the version of the Bahag. Tana, that we have a braisa that adds one extra stipulation. Hadas v'kol d'domi lei. Hadas and anything which is similar to it. Now, what does that mean? It's similar. Kloima she'ikroi l'reach. Whose ikar is for reach. What does it mean? Whose ikar is for reach? That's the main purpose. La'afuke, as opposed to tapuchim, which are apples. V'chavushim, I think, are quinces. She'ein ikron l'reach elo. Lechoil. So one second, let's go slowly. If you have an apple or a quince, it may well have a nice smell, but that's not the ikka. The main benefit you get from an apple is, of course, eating. And so too in the case of chavushim. So according to the Bahag, we've got different levels on our ladder in a hierarchy. The extreme example is a farasamayim, because there you have the wood, and the wood itself has a pleasant taste.
Smell.
A pleasant smell, excuse me. So too the hadas. Now, we thought that all mugmoris, according to our girsa certainly, those are different, because there the wood itself does not have a pleasant smell. Says the Bahag, that may be true, but it does have something else in common with hadas, and that is, it doesn't so much matter whether the smell is coming from the actual wood, or rather the smoke that comes from it. Rather, it depends on, is it ikroi l'reach? Whether it's ikroi l'reach. What does ikroi l'reach mean? That's its prime benefit. Therefore, even though I admit to you that Mugmar and Afarasamoin are not identical, why are they not identical? Because in one case, the wood is issuing the fragrance, and one it's not. But there is another point that they do have in common, and that is, in both cases, it's Ikalarech, as opposed to an apple. Or a quince, tabuchim lechavushim, they may well have a very pleasant taste. If you take an orange, you might very much enjoy the smell of an orange, but you can't say it's ikre l'reach. Its ikre is for eating, which, by the way, would definitely pose the question. So if you smell an orange, you won't make a bracha atzei besomim. Fine. But maybe you should make a bracha, boriminim besomim. Remember, the distinction that we're making in the Gemara is not whether you do or don't make a bracha. It's rather, what's the distinction? Just which bracha you make. Is it atzei or minei? So according to the way the Bahag is learning, any food where the ikar is the reyach, you say atzei besomim. And if not, then maybe the bracha should be minei besomim. So next time you take your orange or your lemon, which has a pungent smell, if you enjoy that smell, maybe you should have to make a bracha of boire, at least mine besomim, if not atze. That we'll have to see, lahalocha. But either way, we have l'choira now, a very big machloikus rishonim going on. Rashi told us that what that what was unique to hadas, that the eitz is meiriach, below Sreifa. That's how Rashi told us. So Rashi clearly went with our girsa. Rashi didn't tell us that Tiyuvta is a lav dafko, or that's not the correct text. That is the correct text. And what's unique to Hadas is that the eitz itself has a pleasant fragrance. So if you want to know what is the rule, according to Rashi, Wherever the eitz has a nice smell, you say boire atse besomim. And wherever it doesn't, you say boire mine besomim. Mugmar is therefore what? Mine. Because there's no nice smell from the actual eitz. That seems to be the maskon according to Rashi. But according to Tosfos, at least in the name of the Bahag, that's not the maskon at all. The Gemara asked a fair question, but the Gemara gives an answer. It says to Yufta, no, he didn't have that girsa. He apparently had an alternative text. In his text, what did it say? That hadas v'chol hadoime lohem. Anything which is similar to hadas, i.e. that it's ikroi for reach, that is enough to require broch of atse besomim. So if we're back to the case of mugmar, what's the loch of mugmar according to that? Atse besomim, because ikroi l'reach. So we have a machloikus rishonim lahalocha lemaskonas hashas. What bracha do you make on mugmar? According to the simple reading of our Gemara, the Gemara backed down from atse because the eitz itself doesn't have a pleasant smell. Therefore, what's the bracha? Mine tiyufta. According to the Bahag, there is no tiyufta. It was a good question, but there's a good answer. If you do make atse because it's ikra l'reach. Says Tosfos in conclusion, Umi shehoylech babayis. If somebody is going in a house, sheyesham besomim, where there are besomim there, v'yesh sham mine besomim shemeriach bohen, and he's definitely got some besomim which he can smell, but he doesn't know what is, where exactly it comes from. What exactly am I smelling? It's definitely a very pleasant smell. Umasap kele imi min eitz imi min adomo. Who? So do we have a brocha on besomim which you can make b'mokim sofik? I'm not sure if this is the boire atse besomim or it's coming from the ground. It's not from an eitz at all. In which case it would be mine besomim. So what do you do when you're not sure if it's atse or mine? Says Tosfos, yesh meforshim, some explain shemavorech shehakol. Why? Shehakol nibidvorei. The alkulam, because on every item of nehenin, in bire shehakol yotza. Shehakol nibidvorei is the general, all-inclusive, one-size-fits-all bracha. Not only for foods, but also for smells. Now, by the way, this is the same halacha in the case of foods. If you've got a food and you don't know what the bracha is, what do? Shako. Not only that, even if you do know what the bracha is, but if accidentally you make shako, it always works, even on bread. By the way, the Mishnah Berurah in two places warns us that you can only make shahakol if you have a real sofik. Sofik doesn't mean I don't know the halacha. That's not called a sofik. That's what Mishnah Berurah says, Mafurish. And we learned it early on in the Perek, by the way. So if someone doesn't know brachas, he has to go to a Talmud Chacham to ask him. Otherwise, in theory, why are we learning Kitzam Mavorachim? Why can't we just remain ignoramuses and say ignorance is bliss and we'll just make shahakol in every food? It'll definitely work. Says the Mishnah Berurah, no, this eitzah of making a shahakol b'mokim sofek is only when you're not sure of the metzias, but not when you're not sure of the halacha. If you're not sure of the halacha, look it up, ask a rav.
What if it'll expire?
So that's a good question.
Would you say it on the sea if you don't know, like you don't have a sitter, you don't know the bracha on the sea?
No.
Can you say shahakol
no.
there?
No, it's only on Birkas Hanenin. Only on Birkas Hanenin. On the sea is a Birkas Hashach. So therefore, I've got over here a boirei something, mine besomim, atse besomim. Here, my sofik is not a sofik in halacha. I know the halachas. I just, for some reason, can't ascertain what the facts on the ground are. So Tosa says, you make the general brocha, which is shahaku. However, v'harav, Rabbeinu Moshe Mikutzi, oya oima, shi'evorech boirei, mine besomim. Boire mine besomim is not only the specific bracha on minim, but it is also the general bracha that fits all types of besomim. We're going to see, Mitzvah Hashem, essentially there are three types of brachas on besomim. There's Bayre Mine Besamim, Bayre Atse Besamim, as we've just seen. There's also going to be Bayre Isve Besamim, from the word Esev, grass. Isve, Atse, and Mine. So we're going to have to learn all the various halachas, but here we're being told there's a machlokas, what do you do with Mokum Safik? Do you say a bracha of Shahakal Nir Bedvarei? Or no? You say Bayre Mine Besamim, because Mine just means species. So it's vague. I don't know if it's a species of tree, is it a species of grass? It's a very vague terminology. So if it's vague, then one size will fit all.
It's a
shahakoil of besomim. Whereas according to the first opinion, no, shahakoil works for besomim as well.
Where's Tosfos come out?
So Tosfos just brings to this.
Okay, he doesn't.
Now, we have to, and Rosh Hazelig, you asked me this question last week, we have to point out one important point. Tosfos was talking about what scenario? Somebody was walking in a house and there was a nice smell. That's a very, very important point. Because we need to ask a question. Do you have to make a bracha on besamim whenever you just so happen to smell something? If I take a besamim to hand and I smell it for the expressive purpose of benefiting from its smell, well, that's the classic Birkas HaReach. But Tosas' example was not that. Tosas didn't say, what happens if you take something to hand and I don't know what it is? Is it Adoma or Eitz? That wasn't the case. Tosas, what are you doing? You're just walking through somebody's house. Oh, wow, what a wonderful smell. You weren't planning on smelling it?
How do we see in Tosas that it was smelled? Then why can't we read Tosos and say, he sees on the shelf, there's a glass jar with besamim in it.
What's that? His example was, Misha hoileich babayis, says Tosos. Says very funny example. Sheesh of besamim. So what does he do?
He walks in, he sees on the shelf, there's a glass jar, and inside
so
of besamim.
So why did Tosos have to give that whole introduction then?
Why does he have to make a bracha at all?
So why does he make a bracha? But number more than that, Reb Nachum, why does he have to give the introduction? So why does he have to give the introduction? Why can't Tosos just say, Umi sheyesh loy safik? Anybody who has a suffix, these are the two opinions. What's the whole introduction for? Somebody's walking in a house. What's the walking got to do with it? What's the house got to do with it? Whenever you have besomim in front of you, I don't care whether you're walking, you're sitting, you're standing, you're lying, you're in a house, you're in a street. What's the difference? What's the whole introduction for? So we have to know this halacha. Next time you go shopping and you pass the perfume shop, just make a bracha. That's like this case of Tosis. You're hoylech babayis. If you go specifically to the perfume shop and you say, oh, I'd love to smell this perfume, it's got a wonderful taste, so chayav make a birkas areach. But according to the wording of Tosas, it sounds like even if that was not my intention, by the end of the day, you're benefiting from it. By the way, we have to ask another question. Even if you do go into the perfume shop, imagine you go into the perfume shop, you want to buy some perfume. Now, you want to smell it, not to benefit. You want to smell it just to know whether it's worth buying. It's a bit similar to tasting food. Well, I'm not interested in benefits. I just want to know whether it needs extra spices for Shabbos. Very important, Shaila, Halacha Lemaisa. Next time you go to the store to buy your wife some perfume, and you'll want to smell it to see whether it's worth buying, just to make a bracha. You might well benefit from it, but I'm not interested in benefiting it. I'm just interested to know that it's got a good smell, so it's worth buying. So these are all shailas that we're going to have to look up, especially when we see the halacha. Number one, you have to have intention to benefit. Number two, like the implication of Tosas, do you bechalal have to have any intention to smell it? Never mind benefit. When you're next time in the Merkaz and you happen to walk past the perfume store, oh, well, that's a nice smell. Right, better make a bracha. So we've mentioned three different categories. The super category is obviously, I took it to hand and I smelled it with the expressed purpose of benefiting. Well, that's obviously Birkas HaReach. The next case is, I did take it to hand, I did want to smell it, but not to benefit from it, just because I want to know what the smell is. Is it worth buying the perfume? And then the third case is, I didn't even intend to smell it either.
Just happened.
I was going on a nice teal in the park, and I find myself in a very nice plantation, has a nice smell, Pseda. I couldn't avoid the smell. Do I have to make a brocha? I wasn't planning to. These are all important shailas. Mr. Hashem, we'll have to see in the Hemshech of the Sugya.